With no further ado, to give us a real welcome to Texas, Molly Ivins.
Oh, thank you all kindly. You know, the Driscoll is a beautiful old hotel, but they didn't make it with acoustics in mind. If I were y'all, and it sounded real vague to me, I'd sort of move this way. But of course, that's further from the bar. You might want to take that into consideration too. All right, well, I'm supposed to give y'all the big hatty and welcome because the governor couldn't make it. Damn. Y'all have missed a treat. The governor of Texas, Good Hair Perry, is a real decoration to the great state. There was a lot of money riding on when he went down to stand in front of the cameras for Hurricane Rita whether or not the hair would move. He fooled us all and wore a cap. So we still don't know if it has ever moved. Just to give you an example, it's not easy to be the governor of this state. Right when he came in, old Goodhair had to name a new appointee to the State Public Utilities Commission, which regulates utility rates and is a consequently some sensitivity. And he chose for this purpose a former Enron executive before the crash. And that was fine with everybody. All was well and good until, in Texas, we do not have a sunshine law. We have sort of like the partly cloudy law. But even under our state law, when you make a major appointment like that, the appointee has to fill in a lot of information about his finances and past and so on. And all that becomes part of the public record. So a couple of days after the announcement, the Gov's office put out the background sheets on this Enron guy. And we alert guardian watchdogs of democracy there in the press room. Get this sheet, and we're looking it over, and somebody says, "Yeah, I think 17 looks funny. George, you think 17 looks funny?" George said, "I don't know. Sam, you think 17 looks funny?" Everybody thought 17 looked funny. 17 turned out to be the question where they ask if you have ever had any previous unfortunate involvement with law enforcement. And the answers to question 17 had been whited out. Now, this was a very sophisticated cover-up. But we of the Capitol Press Corps were on the case immediately. And discovered in no time flat that the guy, you know, a couple of minor traffic accidents, and while out hunting a year earlier, the guy accidentally shot a whooping crane. And he accidentally buried the whooping crane. And as a result, had been fined $20,000, which everybody thought was mighty stiff there for your Endangered Species Act. And we printed this, and frankly, Texas is a state full of hunters, and they couldn't have given less of a shit. You know, they're all sitting there saying, "Well, hell, anybody could accidentally hit a whooper." But we stayed on the case and discovered that the guy shot the whooper while he was on a duck hunt. Now, you all, being environmental writers, know your whooper, large bird, one's 5 feet tall. They're your duck. Now we got a whole state full of hunters saying, "God damn, son of a bitch, too dumb to tell a duck from a whooper. He shouldn't be running the state utilities." And the nomination had to be withdrawn. Damn. Well, we do have a wonderful time here in Texas politics. A little excitement today. Tom DeLay said that he had been indicted by a rogue prosecutor, a partisan zealot. call him, he just went on and on about this rabid mad dog prosecutor we have here in Austin. That would be Mr. Boring, Ronnie Earle. Known him for a long time. Mr. Unexciting himself. Hard to see him as a rabid partisan zealot, especially since of the 15 politicians he has indicted, 12 of them have been Democrats. But this does not deter the Republican brethren from endlessly referring to him as a rabid partisan prosecutor. If Ronnie Earle's defense in his case isn't any better than his description, Tom DeLay's defense isn't any better than his description of Ronnie Earle, he should get measured up for a white jumpsuit right now. It's always kind of tell you seriously, as a civil libertarian, I do not like conspiracy charges. I think they smell. They're usually an add-on charge, and they're extremely hard to prove. On the other hand, was there a conspiracy to put corporate money into a Texas election? That question, with what we already know, is in the same category of does a bear shit in the woods? I wanted to speak specifically to y'all's interest tonight. First of all, I want to say I'm delighted that there are so many of you. Thank you for being you, for doing the work you do. Thank you so much. I particularly wanted to salute Mark Schlefstein of the New Orleans Times-Picayune. Mark and I were talking earlier tonight and agreed that when it comes to things that really matter, there is nothing more bitter than being left saying, I told you so. Sort of the way a lot of us feel about the war in Iraq right now. No, it really is not pleasant. There is nothing good about those words. They are like gall in the mouth. Gall and wormwood in the mouth. You all are in a curious position, it seems to me, faced with an administration at the federal level, which consistently shows contempt for science. What that means in your particular field, you know even better than I do, but part of the contempt for science regularly demonstrated by this administration is going along with the idea that government agencies in various areas of concern can be treated as places where you farm out the nieces and nephews of generous Republican contributors. I know some of you women particularly were distressed to learn that the administration planned to put a veterinarian in charge of the women's health section at the FDA. I want you to know that the only reason they were going to take that step is because Michael Brown was not available. It is an administration clogged with brownies. Heck of a job, heck of a job. And sometimes not even clogged. Many thought perhaps in the wake of the hurricanes, something interesting and innovative and helpful might be done in the area of public housing that would be more likely to happen if there were anybody at the Department of Public Housing. The 7 top posts are empty. they couldn't find anybody with Brown's qualifications. Gee, do I sound bitter? I hate when that happens. It's just that the material they give us is so amazing. I must tell you that, going back to the topic du jour, many here were disappointed because even though DeLay was indicted, our Texas House Speaker, Tom Craddock, was not. Now, the reason that breaks our hearts is not because we have anything against Tom Craddock, who's a perfectly nice fella, except for being, you know, a fiscal moron. But it breaks such a wonderful string. If Craddock had been indicted, that would have made 6 out of 7 of the last House speakers, see, tradition here in Texas, to have the speaker under indictment. Now, actually, I have to confess that not all of the 6 were indicted. One of them was shot to death by his wife. She was indicted but not convicted. Because in Texas, we recognize public service when we see it. I like to cheer people up, since y'all are from around the country, only a few of you from here in the great state, cheer people up by pointing out that no matter how dire things are in your area, it could be worse. You could be having to do this in Texas. And just to give you an example of the kind of public servants we have to work with, I thought I'd tell you a story about one of my favorites. Mike Martin was elected to the Texas legislature from Longview. He ran on a platform of being pro-family and pro-American. It was fairly controversial, but he got elected anyway. Came down to Austin, and the trouble with Mike is that he was legislatively impaired. In fact, Mike was such a hopeless dipshit that he could not get a single bill passed. Not even memorial resolutions for people who had died in his district. So when Mike came up for re-election 2 years later, it didn't look good. Hard to get re-elected with nothing on your record. And turned out Mike had a lot more imagination and creativity than anyone had given him credit for. What he did was he hired his cousin Eddie. He paid cousin Eddie to shoot him in the arm with a shotgun, a touch I always liked. And then he claimed that it had been done by a satanic and communistic cult that was out to get him on account of he, Mike Martin, was so pro-family and pro-American. Well, this worked like a charm. I mean, there's headlines in every paper in this state, legislator attacked by satanic communistic cult. I mean, it was the biggest deal. We sent the Texas Rangers out to find the perps, you know. They're combing the entire state, but I don't know where some of y'all are from California, but here in Texas, we don't have that many satanic communistic cults. And they didn't come up with anything. Well, as always happens in such cases, one night, Cousin Eddie got drunk in a honky-tonk and spilled the beans. Now, this is where we Texans can be proud. Not many state legislatures have had the foresight to make it illegal to pay somebody to shoot you. But in Texas, don't y'all try and have that done while you're here. And so it turned out that with this turn of events, old Mike became a wanted man. And instead of, you know, stepping up and facing his problems as he should have, I'm sorry to report that the state Representative Martin took it on the lam, went underground, went into hiding. We had to send the Texas Rangers out after him. They hunted him high, they hunted him low. After 3 weeks, they tracked him to earth at his mama's house in Longview, where he was found hiding in the stereo cabinet. Many have asked what he was doing in the stereo cabinet. I am here to tell you that the man always did want to be the speaker. All right. right, just one more. They said 10 minutes. All right, here's one. You got your newspaper people. Of course I can tell this story. I don't even have to think about it. We were having one of our fits recently, not too long ago. As a matter of fact, the Supreme Court took off on this very issue to pretty much settle the deal. In Texas, it was for many years illegal to be gay. It didn't seem to stop anyone, but there it was. It was illegal. And so we were having one of those deals where it was time to reform the state penal code. I mean, God, what a mess. And they did the smart thing. Instead of letting the legislature do it, they appointed a super blue ribbon commission with a lot of distinguished jurists and law professors and district attorneys and stuff on it. And they all go through the state penal code, throwing out all this old crap. And one of the things they threw out was 2106, the statute making it illegal to be gay. And the revised penal code went first to the state senate, and guys in the senate gutted it up. They sucked it up and voted the thing through without a single change. Everybody kind of went, damn, look at that. And then it got over the House, the more conservative of the two bodies, and first right out of the trap, State Representative Warren Chisholm, who is a Bible-thumping dwarf from Pampa, leaped to his feet and said, "I move to reinstate homosexual sodomy in the penal code." Well, all the guys in the House was afraid everybody would think they was queer if they didn't vote for it, so they did. And then some constitutional scholar explains to old Warren that unless he moves to reinstate heterosexual sodomy, he's going to be declared unconstitutional on grounds of being unequal. And Warren's nothing loath. He leaps up and moves to reinstate heterosexual sodomy in the penal code. At which point, a really interesting debate ensued. We heard from several graduates of A&M. People were at the back mic saying things like, "Well, Warren, suppose I'm in bed with my lawfully wedded spouse and I kind of like slip and wind up in the wrong hole. You don't want to send me to prison for that, do you?" And Warren is at the front mic saying, "Yes, I do. It's against nature and the Bible." So in the end, all the guys in the House was afraid everybody would think they was preverts if they didn't vote for it, so they did. And Warren was up at the front mic with Helmut Heflin, his big Christian ally from down in Houston. They're both sitting there high-fiving and slapping each other on the back and the butt, just, you know, having a real good celebration at this double victory for Jesus. And the press box called over the sergeant-at-arms and said, "Sergeant, you must go over and reprimand both those men, because under the provisions of the amendments just passed by Representative Chisholm, it is now illegal for a prick to touch an asshole in this state."